please have a seat, grab a handle, and open up those hymnals to song number 288. You can begin this evening service by singing song number 288, I Am Resolved.
Thank you. right, if you need a bulletin, go ahead and slip up your hand. Brother Adam will bring you one. As always, the service times are listed there. We'll be in 2 Kings chapter 7 this week. We've got the salvations, the offering totals, and the attendance numbers below that. And we've got the weekly Bible memory passage. We're wrapping up the Old Testament chapters, so hopefully you guys got that knocked out. The ice cream bars are in, so collect them, kids, once you've got it completed. And keep working on retaining this for that pop quiz. And then we've got the yearbook portraits coming up next Sunday. So if you're going to get your photo taken, make sure you're here, ready to smile. Smear some Vaseline on your teeth so those lips go up easy. And we'll go ahead and we'll take care of the details after the Sunday morning service. But we'll get right after the Sunday morning service. We're going to start taking photos. If you need to stick around, we're going to have some subs for you, potato chips. So you can have something to eat while you wait. And then below that, don't forget, we also have the annual chili cook-off, which is going to be hosted on Monday, October 31st from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Make sure all the chilies are made from scratch. Have them here by 5. And we'll have the sides. We're going to have the first, second place prizes, as well as the third. You have to be 12 years old to vote. And I think I'm going to have to go back on what I said as far as if you made a chili, you can still vote. I think I'm going to go back on that and say, if you made a chili, you can't vote. I don't know, because I feel like if people might vote for their own chili, even though they don't think it's the best. I don't know. Do we have that enough integrity? I'm not sure. So that's just kind of been the policy throughout the years. So I figured, why change, right? So if you enter a chili, you know, that's great. But no voting if you enter a chili, okay? If your spouse enters a chili, you can vote. Okay, I'm not going to get that strict about it. But that's coming up soon, so get those chilies ready. Don't forget on the back, we've got the homeschool field trip coming up on November 11th. You got the details there, as well as the annual church picnic up in Tempe. If you want to go, you're more than welcome to attend. You've got the song schedule for the upcoming services below that. We'll go ahead and count up the soul winning going back to Friday, if there's anything to report for Friday. And I don't think we had anything yesterday. And then today, was there anything for the group?
Two.
All right, amen. With that, we'll go ahead and sing one more song, and then we'll get into preaching tonight.
Thank you.
me as I read from Matthew chapter 11 tonight. Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11, the Bible reads, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? As like unto children sitting in the markets and calling for their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced, and we have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified over children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the time that we have to come together for the preaching of the Word. I pray you'd help me tonight, Lord, to encourage us, and Lord, help us to have a burden for the lost, for those that you died for. We ask in Christ's name, amen. So I want to preach a message tonight entitled, Seek the Lame. Seek the Lame. That's something that's very prominent you see in Christ's ministry, is that he's often going after those that other people would probably dismiss and as unimportant, those that might not necessarily have anything to profit them. Those are the people that Jesus often goes after, in particular the lame, the blind, and so forth. If you look there in verse 1 of Matthew 11, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." And I love verse 5 in particular, because we have this great litany of miracles that Jesus says, well, here's proof to John that I am the Christ. And he goes on and says, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And notice there at the end, the poor have the gospel preached to them. It really is, and I say this every time I ever preach this verse, but it comes to mind every time I think it. It really is a miracle, in a sense, that the poor have the gospel preached to them. It really is something that there's people in the world that would go out and reach people that other people would otherwise just dismiss. that the poor of this world have the gospel preached to them, in a sense, is a miracle. I mean, notice the miracles that he lists there. He lists the fact that the blind receive their sight, that the lame walk, that the lepers are cleansed, that the deaf hear, and then he caps it all off. He ends it with the fact that the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus is saying to us and showing us that the fact that the gospel had the gospel preached to them is a miracle. It's a miracle that anybody cares enough to go out there and take the gospel to a group of people that nobody else would really care about. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And we see in Jesus' ministry over and over again that he ministers to the lame. He ministers to people that would not profit him. And I think this is something that's very important for us to keep in mind when it comes to ministering. When we are going out and doing the work of Christ, when we're going out and trying to build a church, especially one like this, from scratch, it's important that we have the same mentality that Christ had when he went out and built his ministry. And when Jesus went out and went out ministering, who did he minister to? Was it only to the affluent? Of course he ministered and preached to all types of different people, but was it exclusively to the people only in his immediate sphere of influence? Was it only to the people that he could most closely relate to? Was it only to people that were in his demographic? Was it only to people that could come to his church and put money in the plate? Was it only to people that would only profit him? No. He went and he ministered to the lame. He ministered to the blind. He ministered to lepers, to the outcasts of society, to those that could profit him nothing. If you go over to Luke chapter number 4, this is something that is actually prophesied about Christ's ministry. And it said, when the Christ comes, when the Messiah comes, how will we know? Well, you'll be able to see what he does. You'll be able to see the works that he performs. It says there in verse 16 of Luke 4, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So here he is reading in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the prophecy in chapter 60. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Why is the Spirit of the Lord upon him? Because he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He hath sent me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. That's why he's on him. That is why he has been anointed by God, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That was Jesus' ministry in a nutshell. That was something that they could look at and see, if he is going to perform these works, then truly he is the Christ. They said, you'll know it's the Christ as we have this prophecy that when he comes, these are the type of things that he's going to do. And he wasn't going to be flying around in a private jet. He wasn't going to be going out there and just trying to make a big name for himself. He wasn't going to go out there and try to only reach people that could profit him. He's actually going to go out there and reach people like the poor, the brokenhearted, those that are captive. You know, we have that same ministry today. You know, we are surrounded today by people who are, what, brokenhearted? We are surrounded today by people that have come up in broken homes, that have had their hearts broken by those that they should trust the most. We are surrounded today by people who are held captive, that are in bondage to sin, that are in bondage to alcohol and drugs and all other manner of things. We are surrounded today by the same types of people that Jesus was surrounded by in his day, and it's still our job to go out and reach them just as much as it was his job to go out and reach them. He said that he was come, he was anointed to preach to these people, and it says there in verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. One of the defining characteristics of Jesus' ministry is that he would go to the lame, to those that could not profit him. Go to John chapter 5, John chapter number 5. This was the burden of Jesus' ministry. I believe this should be the burden of our ministry down here, to reach the lame. And I'm not talking about the physically lame, those that who are crippled in their feet in some way or can't move or don't have the mobility that a normal person has, but those who are spiritually lame, those who have been crippled by sin. Look at John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. You know, there's no shortage of people today that are hurt. There's no shortage today of impotent folk. There's no shortage today of blind people in the world. There's no shortage of those that are halt or withered. And just like these people here in verse 3, they even today, they are still what? Waiting. Waiting for the moving of the water. Waiting for a miracle to come to them. Waiting for someone to come to them and to help them. They waited there by that water. For it says there in verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Imagine the desperation of these people. Imagine how that when that angel stirred that water, how quickly some of those people would have tried to get into that water. What a just a rush to that it must have been. I mean, imagine if you had any one of these ailments, if you were blind or halt or withered, and you sat there waiting by that water along everybody else. I mean, I'd imagine people got pushy, people got shovy, people wanted to get other people out of their way to get there. It's a desperate situation. And there was a certain man there that for some reason caught Jesus' eye, it says in verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. I've only been alive for 4 years longer than that. That's a lifetime for some people. 38 years with this infirmity waiting. And when Jesus saw him lie, and he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man said, sir, these heartbreaking words that came out of his mouth, I have no man. I have no man. 38 years, I have no man. A decade goes by, I have no man. 20 years goes by, nigh on to 40 years goes by, I have no man. Look, people are out there hurt, broken, and they are waiting decade after decade after decade for someone to come and stir the waters around them. And all they have to say is, I have no man. He said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. What a great miracle. But again, it shows us a few things, doesn't it? One, that Jesus cared about the lame. Jesus cared about those that nobody else cared for. And it shows us why he cared for them. Because nobody else does. Because there's people out there that need help, that need to be made whole. And look, we can't go and heal people physically. But you know what? We can go deliver the captives from sin. We can go make people whole spiritually, and we can get them in this house where the Word of God is preached, and through the preaching the Word of God, lives can be reassembled, lives could be salvaged, lives could be changed, people could be caused to rise up and walk again, even after 40 years. Go to Matthew chapter 15. We see all throughout Jesus' ministry this major theme of ministering to the lame, seeking the lame. Often we'll see that the lame were came to Jesus all on their own in some cases. Matthew 21, it says, you're going to chapter 15, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Notice also, in Matthew 15, the lame were also brought to Jesus. I mean, the lame are all throughout Jesus' ministry. We see Jesus going to them, we see them coming to him, but we also see, and this is really what I emphasize here tonight, is the fact that the lame were brought to him. Matthew 15 and verse 29, it says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. That's an important detail. He's up in a mountain. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to get away when I want to, you know, moments respite. When I'm trying to relax a little bit, I don't go hike a mountain. You know, I close the door where it's got some AC in it, pour myself a glass of ice water, and put a little sign on the doorknob that says, "Do not disturb," might even lock the door. Jesus, he's going up a mountain. And he sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him. So these people say, hey, we want to be where Jesus is. But notice this. When this great multitude came unto him, it says, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. I mean, here's a group of people that has gotten a burden themselves, that shares the same burden that Jesus has for the lame. You know, it's real easy to get the lame, you know, to Jesus when he comes to them at the pool in Bethsaida. It's another thing to get the lame to Jesus when he got to carry him up a mountain. It's another thing when to lead a blind man to the temple to help him find Jesus. It's another thing to lay that same guy up some rocky slope and cast him down at Jesus' feet. The lame were brought to Jesus. Why? Because other people had a burden for them. That's why. They couldn't have gotten themselves up there. Not without a lot of struggle. I mean, I don't know how the lame get up there. That's what it means to be lame, to not be able to move. Imagine being blind and trying to climb up some mountain. And, you know, this was before, you know, the concept of a national forest. This is, you know, this wasn't some, maybe perhaps one, some well-groomed trail with handrails and everything else and signs that tell you where to speak and the maimed to behold, the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. You say, it sounds like a lot of work. And it is. It sounds like a lot of work to me too. But notice what they got to behold when they went ahead and put in that work. When they went ahead and got a burden and said, hey, Jesus is there. You're here. Let me do my part to get you to him. They got to behold miracles. Yeah, they had to go up a mountain themselves. And yeah, it was cumbersome. Yeah, it probably wasn't the easiest trek. But when they got there, they got to see the dumb speak. They got to see the maimed made whole. They got to see the lame walk. And it's talking about the people. It's not talking about the people that it happened to. It's just describing the people that got to see it. And the people who saw it, it says there, wondered. And they glorified the God of Israel. And I'm saying this, is that if we'll get a burden for the lame, and we'll be persistent, and we'll do the hard work of reaching out to those that nobody else wants anything to do with, we will see miracles. We will see God move. We will see people put back on their feet. Maybe not every day, maybe not even every month, but if you're persistent, consistent, and going and preaching and reaching out and ministering and having that burden, you will behold wonders and you'll glorify God. But you got to go up that mountain, don't you? Up into a mountain, it says in verse 29. They had to put forth effort. And we know that the lame are a burden, aren't they? And I don't mean that in a bad way. Mark 2, it's just, going to Mark 2, it's just a simple fact of the matter. Lame people are a burden. Caring for some, handicapped family member, as much as you love them, is a burden. There's no way around it. And the people that we're going to minister to in this church are going to be a burden. Not everybody, but you know, some people are going to come and they're going to be ready to go and they're going to be an asset. But you know, the people that we're trying to reach, the people that we need to have a burden for, are they themselves going to be burdens? But somebody has to care for them. Somebody has to get them up that mountainside. Somebody's got to get them down in that pool. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. It's a very famous story, but I love this one. These four guys had a friend that was sick of the palsy. And they knew if they could just get him to Jesus, God would take care of the rest. And then you get there, and you find this great crowd. What? You find an obstacle between you and the Lord. And you've got this friend who you've got a burden for, who's sick, and you know the answer is right there. It's just in the other side. That's just through that throng there. If we could just get through that crowd, we could get our friend back on his feet. We could get him healed. And this is when, you know, when you find out whether people really care about you, is when it actually gets hard for them to help you. It's easy to help people when it's easy, right? But it says in verse 4, they could not come nigh unto him for the press. And they said, well, buddy, maybe next time. Maybe we'll catch him in the next town. We tried. What can I tell you? It's the thought that counts. The guy with the palsy is saying, it's not the thought that counts. I need to get healed. And that's what we need to understand. That's what God's people need to understand. That it's not enough just to have good intentions. You got to put in that work and be consistent. These guys didn't give up. They persisted. They uncovered the roof where he was. I mean, this isn't their house, folks. They're damaging property. They're climbing up on a roof to say, well, let's get them in there. They'll understand. We'll pay for it. We'll come back and fix it some other time when the throng is left. When they had broken it up, it says, they let him down on the bed wherein the sick of the palsy was. Palsy laid. That sounds like a lot of work to me. You ever try to carry dead weight around? Sometimes I'll lay on the floor in my living room and I'll just challenge my children to get me up. And it takes all of them. It takes everything they got. One of them's got my head. Because apparently I got a big head. One's got an arm and I'm just, you know, and every now and then I'll kind of give them a little bit of help. But I'm telling you, if I didn't give them a little bit of help, I'd still be on that floor. That stopped these guys? Man, we tried. I mean, we were in the bed. You know, if the way had been easy, if this throng hadn't been in the way, oh, sorry, I know you're lame. I know you're blind. I know you're, crippled. But it's Jesus is up a mountain after all. I mean, do you really expect us to go up a mountain to get you healed? We would love to get you in there, but there's just, you see the crowd. Well, maybe there's another way. Maybe we could drag this guy up the side of the house and break up the tile and upset the homeowner potentially and then lower him down in a bed. You ever try to lower somebody down, let alone in a bed? I mean, I used to deliver furniture for a couple years, and sometimes you know how these salesmen are. Oh, it'll fit. Yeah, that's what they told you on the showroom floor when you got your credit card in your hand. Oh, it'll fit. Yeah, that deluxe king size, that California king size bed with the mushy pillow top that's really hard to handle, it'll fit right in there. Are you sure? Because my door is about that big. And we've had to tie ropes together and drag king mattresses up over balconies. I can't imagine, you know, putting a grown man in it, even if it were a twin or a single, and saying, let me carefully lower you down. It's a lot of work these guys put in. Why did they do that? Because they loved this person in this bed. Because they had a burden. Because they had a heart like Jesus who cared about people that other people wouldn't have cared for. I mean, it's such an interesting story when you start to think about it. Why didn't they just say, hey, we got a lame guy here. Can you clear the path? It's because people weren't willing to clear a path. They didn't want to just step out of the way. They had their own agenda. We know how the story ends. When Jesus says in verse 5, saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Verse 11, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine own house. Something we would just take for granted, to be able to stand up and walk. What a miracle. What it teaches us is that we need to be burdened, even for those that are burdened. You know, probably more than anybody else that we ought to be burdened for. Not burdened for, you know, Mr. Moneybags. Not burdened for people who just have a lot to offer the church. Burdened for those that have nothing to offer. That's who Jesus is reaching out to. That's where we see the greatest miracles. Go back to Luke. I should have to keep something there. Luke chapter 14. You say, when are we going to see a harvest? When are we going to see people saved? When are we going to see lives changed? In time. If we have a burden. But I guarantee you one thing, lose your burden, you'll never see it. The Bible says, we all know it in Psalms 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again bringing his sheaves with him. He that goeth forth, you know, a lot of us get that down pretty good, don't we? We're really good at going forth. We're really good at showing up at the soul winning time and being ready to go out. But sometimes, you know, it happens to all of us. We can go out and just kind of go with no burden. It's just what we do. We need to just check it off the list this week. Well, who are we really doing it for then? Are we doing it for us? Are we doing it for the deacon? Are you doing it for those that need you to show up? Are you doing it for those people that are lame in their bed? Are you doing it for them? Are you doing it because you're seeking the lame? When you let that sink in, maybe that'll bring back the other part of that equation there. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Well, we've got the going, we've got the precious seed, we've got the word of God, but there's that little part right in the middle called weeping, called having a burden. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them. Correct me if I'm wrong, but sheaves don't walk. Sheaves don't drive cars. Sheaves are a burden. You know, it's a good thing. It's something to rejoice over when you have a sheave on your shoulder, isn't it? You say, yeah, it's kind of heavy. Yeah, but it means I got something done. It means I got a burden. We, like Jesus, should seek those who have nothing to offer. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 12. Luke 14, verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. So when you make that dinner, don't just call your buddies who are going to invite you back to their place next week. Invite people that can't do anything for you. And, you know, I kind of want to apply this to the church, because really when you think about it, church is kind of our spiritual feast. It's the spiritual supper that we set, right? Paul told the elders at Ephesus to feed the flock of God, which is among them, taking the oversight thereof. You know, the preaching of the word of God, the church service is a kind of a feast that is set. That's what church is. It's a spiritual supper. So with that in mind, who is it that we should be bidding? Who is it that we should be trying to get in here? Not just our friends. By all means, invite your friends. Not just our rich neighbors, not just our kinsmen, not just people that we have a burden for because we know them, because we're related. And that's fine. I'm not saying don't not invite them. I'm saying invite them, but I'm saying let's not invite them at the expense of everybody else, at the expense of the stranger, at the expense of the lame, at the expense of the blind, expense of those who can't do anything for us and that we don't know. We need to get a burden for those people. And look, if you go out and start knocking these doors and start talking to these people and let them do a little talking, you'll get a burden. Start to hear some of the horror stories that people call life out there. And we could hear those stories and say, well, this person's just not going to make a very good church member. I just don't see them ever, you know, panning out as far as tithing. I don't know if they're ever going to be a soul winner themselves. I don't know. Look, those are the people that we need to reach. And I get it. They're not all going to come. They lack the character sometimes. They're lame that way. But if we keep that burden and we keep trying, eventually we will see a miracle. We will see a life put back together. We will see a family made whole again. If we bring him and invite those people to this spiritual supper that's set every week right here at this church. I mean, the table spread, right? We got the table, we got the chairs, we've even got some guests, we've got the cook, right? We got the chef, and we got the meal, got the bread, got the water. But where are the guests? They're out there. That's where they are. And we need to go out and get them. You say, well, how? Well, I mean, soul winning, obviously. Go out, win. Invite them to church. But, you know, we could do other things. You know, follow up. Me and, you know, Brother Adam, we had our first taste yesterday of follow up. That was interesting. We were joking about it. It's funny, you go, you know, we have no problem just walking up to a stranger's house and trying to preach them the gospel. Visit them a second time, it's another story. The first door, I'm like, sir, anything else I can do for you? She's like, you want to come wash dishes, or what do you mean? You know, I didn't know what to say. You know, but I said, well, I'll figure it out. We'll go out and visit the shut-ins. We'll go out and visit the homebound. We'll go out and visit the guy who just had knee surgery. We'll go out and visit the person who is maybe a little elderly and it doesn't really want to get involved in church. We'll go out and visit those people and try to get them in through the follow-up. And we'll figure it out. Another thing I'd love to see someday if we're consistent at it is van routes. I said routes, plural. Routes, why not? Why not do it? I mean, those that can't get themselves here, I mean, that's the modern-day equivalent of somebody who's lame. You say, well, who's going to come? Oh, I don't know. The guy I talked to yesterday out soul winning. Said, I can't make it tomorrow, but if you come back next Saturday and check in with me, I might be able to make it that Sunday. Well, I'll be there, buddy. And we'll run that van. We need to not have a mentality that, you know, the people that come in here have to offer us something. It's the complete opposite. Go to Acts chapter 3. We'll close there in Acts chapter 3. Sometimes we get it completely backwards. We see somebody come through the door and say, oh man, I hope they're going to be a good church member. Oh man, if we could just get that one family to move here. Oh, we could just get that, you know, that seasoned Christian in our church. I'm not out trying to get other independent fundamental Baptists out of their old church and into ours. If they want to come, great. But I'm not out trying to just build a church off of somebody else's church. And that, you know, again, they can come if they want. What I want to do in this church is build a church the way Jesus built it, by having a burden for people that can't profit us anything. And whether it's those exact people that we have a burden for, or if God just blesses the effort and says, well, if there's someone out there that's really gonna, and there's a church there that really wants to do the work, I'll send the laborers. Amen. Either way, let's do it the way Jesus did it, and let's get a burden for people that can't profit us anything. Let's seek the lame in Tucson. Because after all, we're the ones with something to offer, aren't we? You know, what does this recovering meth addict have to offer the church? Nothing! What do you have to offer him? Everything. Everything. Salvation. Godly life. Victory over sin. You have everything to offer if an individual has nothing to offer you. We're the ones with something to offer. And there's a beautiful picture of this in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now when Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, beginning the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Again, let this man's situation sink into you. He's lame from his mother's womb. He's never known what it is to walk. And there's people out in this community that have never known what it is to have Christ in their heart. They've never known what it is to live a godly life. They've never known it. They were brought up that way. They were brought up by an alcoholic. They were brought up by a drug addict. They were brought up by a prostitute. They were abandoned as a child. Their whole life has been nothing but being crippled and being lame. That's all they've ever known. Until two men came along who, seeing, verse 3, Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This guy doesn't even know what it is that he needs. He doesn't even know what it is. He's just looking for more gold. Because he's just convinced there's nobody that can really help me with what I really need, which is to be able to walk again. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I mean, that's what that guy needed more than anything. But notice what Peter said. I don't have any gold, and I don't have any silver, but there's one thing I do have. It's the power of Christ. That's what I'm going to give you. You know what? In this church, we don't have a lot of silver and we don't have a little gold either. If you're anything like me, we're not rolling in it. You know, and there's probably a lot of people out there, that's all they'd really want from us. But if we would take what we do have, the gospel of Christ, the promise of victory through Him in this world and in that which is to come, if we would take that out there, some people would rise up and walk. But who is it we're taking it to? The lame, the broken, those that can't profit us anything. Verse 7, and He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Man, when people get saved, they get strength they've never had before. They have the ability to walk if they want to. Why reach the lame? Why go to somebody who can't offer us anything? Because when they get Christ in their heart, they've got a strength they've never had before. And whether they choose to or not, they have an opportunity to rise up and walk, which is something they've never had before. They've been in bondage their whole lives. This guy took advantage of it, verse 8, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple. You know, not everybody that we get saved, not everybody that we try to reach out to is going to have a reaction like this. And there's going to be some of the people that need it more than anybody are going to tell us to take a hike. I get it. But you know what? There's going to be some people out there that are going to receive what we have to offer, which is everything that they need that they didn't even know. They're going to receive it. They're going to stand up leaping and rejoicing, and they're going to follow us into that temple. They're going to come into this house of God, and they're going to praise God, and God will use them. See, how do you know? Because you're looking at one. I mean, I remember when I walked, I got saved, and I walked, I remember saying, I'm going to church now. I wasn't brought up in a godly home. I wasn't brought up, you know, believing the Bible. I was left to fend for myself out there. Got, you know, turned around into some things. Got saved. Short time later, I remember leaving my mom's house on that Sunday afternoon. Walking a couple miles to an old Baptist church was meeting in a UAW hall. Plain old chairs. But man, the preaching was on fire. And the Word of God was preached, and I praise God for it. You telling me God's still not in the business of doing that for some people out here? You telling me the same thing can't happen in this church? Some wayward young man, some wayward young woman, some backwards family, some broken home, some broken individual can't walk through those doors and hear the preaching of the Word of God and say, praise God, I found a home. And watching God start to work in their heart and their life and do something with them. God's still in that business. God can still do that. But what, you know what He needs is some people to get a burden and to go seek the lame. And to get after it and find them. You have to remember, we're the ones with something to offer. You know, and we're not going to reach everyone. We're not going to reach everyone. In fact, most people are going to tell us not interested. I mean, I was out there yesterday just getting turned down, until I ran into that one guy. I said, yeah, I'd like to come see what you're about. Yeah, I'd take a ride. That's why I didn't drag my feet between doors. That's why I didn't sit there and go, oh, I can't believe that person said that to me. One lady's telling him, I got a dog back here. He might come over that fence and bite you. All right, have a nice day. We're not going to reach everyone. We will reach out to everyone. We're not going to reach everyone. But you know what? I'm not trying to reach everyone. I'd like to reach one at a minimum. I still believe we can reach at least one. We can't reach every one, but what if we could reach one with everything? What if one person got everything they needed in Christ? I'd say that's a burden worth bearing. I'd say that's a mountain worth scaling. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the example you left us, Lord, of compassion and mercy. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to live those things out in our own lives. Lord, give us a burden for the people of this city, Lord, and help us to get the focus off ourselves. And Lord, to remember that you died not just for us, Lord, but for those that we're surrounded by. Help us to see a great work done here for you and to your glory and your honor. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we go.
Let's turn to hymnal song number